it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Big Drive Energy Winners Circle Monday. It is colder than a well digger's ass out here in Colorado. I don't know about you, man. How is it out there in Jersey? Because I went outside to sweep my driveway today and just like sweep my shit. Like the snow is so light that I could sweep it, which is nice, rather than shoveling for sure.
Yeah. But
my nose hairs froze.
Oh, I actually weirdly enjoy that. Like, I don't hate the cold like other people hate the cold. I'm just built for it. So, it is like 25 degrees out here today, not very warm. But it's really like we haven't gotten very much snow at all out here. Do you just hit yourself?
Yeah, I just fucked my knee.
Oh, that you hate to see it. I did stub the shit out of my toes the other night. Or it was just last night. We were watching the Cowboys get absolutely boat raced by the Lions, and I ran over
you mean the Packers.
Oh yes. I'm sorry. We were watching the Lions also afterwards, but yes, when the Packers picked off Dak Prescott, I like ran over to the TV and just smoked my fucking toes right on the ottoman. I was like, oh, but then I was like, fuck yeah. I mean, everybody can appreciate the Cowboys just sucking ass year after year in the playoffs.
Yeah. Did you see what fucking Mark Schlereth said about him?
Do you say they're going to shit in their helmets come playoff time?
Yeah. He said that in September. And it was on... It was on like awful announcing or something, but just the idea of shitting in their helmet is there's no better way to describe what they did yesterday than shit in their helmet.
Yeah. Some people say shitting down your leg, which I frequently use, but I think shitting in your helmet's even better.
Well, the most ironic part about that is Mark Schlereth did shit down his leg multiple times, every single football game he played in. So yeah. I think he had to reverse psychology it and say, you know, somebody shitting their helmet versus shitting down their leg, because then he'd be like a hypocrite.
But I don't think anybody's more qualified to talk about shitting anywhere on a football field than Mark Schlereth is.
No, 100% not. Shout out Stink.
He's very qualified to piss and shit anywhere on the football field. So
exactly.
Or in the locker room, you know, down his leg, whatever, pissed on. But yeah,
I was going to say, two guys that did shit down their leg yesterday. Actually, one guy really shit down his leg, and that was Rory McIlroy. And Tommy Fleetwood ended up winning the DP World Tour event in Dubai. And then, would you say there was a shit down the leg in the PGA Tour event? I don't think there really was.
No,
there was some god-awful golf shots in the playoff, but it wasn't really a overall shit down the leg.
No, Keegan Bradley definitely could have taken more advantage. Ben Ahn, we'll kind of get into it, but Ben Ahn has never won on the PGA Tour, so you really didn't expect it from him. But Keegan Bradley, you kind of expected to hit a better shot in the fairway on 18 in the playoff. But they had a wind into him and off the right, so you know, what can you ask for? I think it ended up going into hospitality. He did hit a pretty poor pitch shot from there, ended up making par. But anywho, we'll get to that in a bit. Yeah, so Rory, I would say, you know, that we call these winner circle Mondays, but it was more like loser circle because I think clever, right? I know it's very well thought out. Rory, so on Sunday, he three putted from 3 feet, or inside of 3 feet. I think it was shorter than 3 feet. It's like the first time a tour player has done that in years, I want to say, if that was a correct stat that I read on Twitter. And then he proceeds to hook one left out of or into the water, not out of bounds, into the hazard on 18, and makes
penalty area. It's 2024. Fucking call it the right name.
Dude, I don't even know what penalty area is. Like, it's like, no, oh, never mind. I was going to say, I don't even know what to call them, but I think you know where I'm going.
Oh, yeah. That.
Yeah, it's just like
the pronoun area.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, I don't even know what the fuck those are called. Like, that thing has stakes around it. That's all I know. I know I probably shouldn't go hit a ball in there. But Rory, for all of the great drives he hits throughout the week, he needed one more frozen rope down the middle, and he you can definitely tell he toe hooked that. Like, that ball was moving so hard right to left that, you know, he hit that well out on the toe. For those of you who don't know how like gear effect works with a club face, but Rory didn't just make like the worst swing he's made in his adult life. He just hit it out on the toe. And I'm sure it was probably trying to hook a little bit, but Rory definitely swings it inside out. So then I'm sure at the last minute he was like, save it, and probably flipped it a little bit and towed it over into the water on the left. But I did see, like, I saw a picture on Instagram from the DP World Tour of that 18th fairway. That is a pretty daunting tee shot. Like, I'm not saying he hooked it off the face of the planet from nowhere. You know, he had all this room to bail out. Like, there's water right, there's water left. You really got to hit a good shot. And obviously he didn't, but it's just pretty funny when we actually had a little spat earlier last year between Grayson Murray and Rory McIlroy in the players meeting, in which Rory told Grayson Murray to play better. So one of those dudes did that yesterday, and it wasn't Rory McIlroy, which is actually kind of a funny character arc for Grayson Murray to come all the way back and, you know, win, whatever. We'll get into it. But I really do want to focus on Tommy Fleetwood too, because he played really well. He still, it feels like there's a separation for him between the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour. I've never seen it like this with a player that's so like more than qualified to win on the PGA Tour, but I almost feel like it's in his head a little bit now. But he can win on the DP World Tour like it's nothing. And also kind of an all-time soft moment from Rory, in my opinion. I know him and Tommy Fleetwood are boys, but he definitely did not seem like angry on 18. And maybe that's how you know Rory is just like not that passionate about it anymore, because he lost that tournament and he just went over and like gave Tommy a hug and like, buddy, buddy, if I was him, and you know, it's hard to say, but if I was him, I think I'd be a little bit more pissed off about how that ended.
Yeah, you just can tell the fire with him, especially on the DP World Tour, is lack thereof. He's just a small little spark in this cold ass wind we've got outside right now. Because if it's a PGA Tour event, I feel like he's definitely a little more like, I need to win these events. Like, I need to be the one that is like standing up and fucking backing up my own words, you know, if I'm going to fucking talk like I've been talking about the tour. Now he's walked a lot of that back in general with the whole ROM scenario, but he's the guy that like everybody is waiting on him to win again, win another major especially. And every time that he comes into a tournament and just kind of, we'll go back to the theme of this podcast, which is apparently shitting down your leg. He finished bogey yesterday to lose by one. And he didn't even, Tommy Fleetwood, or sorry, he finished par bogey. And Tommy Fleetwood finished birdie to win it outright. Like, all he had to do was par 18, and then he would have gotten into a playoff. But yeah. Like you said, I do want to focus a little bit more on Tommy Fleetwood. So his seventh career worldwide win on the professional, you know, like sanctioned professional tour, all seven, obviously, on the DP World Tour. And his first win that's not the Ned Bank Golf Challenge since 2018. So it's been a little while for him. But looking at his, just in general, he is the ultimate, you know, we've talked about him going to LIV, and we're not going to make this a LIV podcast, not today. We usually do kind of turn into that sometimes. But he, in the U.S. Open, he's got a couple of top fives. He got three top fives in the last, since 2017 when he started playing in all the majors. He's got three top fives in the U.S. Open, a top five in the PGA Championship. No top fives or tens in the Masters. And then in the Open Championship, he's gotten top 10 three of the last 5 years. So he's there, and he's there enough in majors. It's got to be in his head at this point, I think, with winning on the PGA Tour versus the DP World Tour. And, you know, the competition is, it's a little less deep on the PGA or on the DP World Tour, but the upper level of the DP World Tour, like beating a guy like Rory, I mean, Francesco Molinari's up there, Torbjörn Olsen's up there, Yannick Paul, Adrian Marunk, like all these guys are top class worldwide players. And he finishes with, you know, the win at 19 under in Dubai, which, by the way, that fucking golf course, like just some of the pictures of it. And I know pictures can make everything look really good. Like, when you look at houses online and then you go to one and you're like, this is the same thing as the picture. So I understand pictures make places look better, but some of the pictures of that Dubai golf course just are unbelievable.
Well, dude, I mean, I think you know how much money there is over there. Like, it is basically just turned into a golf playground. Like, I actually would love to take a golf trip to Dubai, other than, you know, how weird everything else is. Just strictly on like a golf standpoint, it looks absolutely unbelievable. And it is kind of wild because we don't really think of it. It's almost like Dubai is like Europe's Arizona. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like the equivalent, like that's where people go on holiday, is what they call it over there. That's where they go on holiday in the winter time to get to the warmer weather. So I think it's a lot more frequented by Europeans than, you know, we realize. But yeah, the golf course looks unbelievable. Everything looks unreal. I just don't think you can, like, similar to Arizona, I don't think you can step outside there any of the summer months. I actually think they have like underground tunnels throughout the cities and stuff, so you don't even have to, or Dubai is a city. But I think they just have underground tunnels throughout the entire city, so you don't even have to go outside in the summertime, which is pretty wild. But yeah, in the wintertime, it looks unbelievable. Like, and they have a lot of winter golf. They have a lot of night golf there. They have a lot of like lidded drive courses, lit driving ranges and lighted golf courses. Holy shit, what a mouthful. But yeah, that, long story short, unbelievable golf course. They play there, I think, two or three times a year on the DP World Tour. And every time I'm like, holy shit. And real quick, have you seen like the pictures of Dubai like 20, 25 years ago compared to now?
No, like a now and then.
Yeah, like, I'm not shitting you, it legitimately was nothing but desert. There was nothing there. And they've just built this multi-trillion dollar city, like, out of basically nothing. So I don't know. I don't know if there's ever been, like, a faster developing city in the history of the world than that place. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm watching. I just pulled up one of the tweets yesterday from the DP World Tour. When the putt for Tommy Fleetwood, he actually had to make a 15 footer to win the event. But I was scrolling through the comments, because the comment section on most every big tweet in the world, is there's always something funny in there. And This is from Stevenson Byron. His name is Byron, actually Byron. Yes, at Tommy Fleetwood, fire, fire emoji. Even better that you beat the poodle. And now I can't stop thinking of Rory McIlroy as a fucking poodle, dude. With his like hair and his fucking nose and the way he looks. That is incredible. It's the first time I've... Have you ever heard that?
No, I've never heard of anybody call Rory the poodle. I know that he does have a dog for a driver head cover. I'm not sure what dog it is, but I don't think it's a poodle. So real quick too, because I was curious, like, you know, you watch Tommy Fleetwood on TV and his game just feels solid all the way around. And it makes you wonder why he hasn't won on the PGA Tour. But you almost feel like there has to be something missing for him to have not won. So these are his strokes gained stats last year on the PGA Tour. He was fifth overall in strokes gained total, which is insane for a dude who's never won. Strokes gained tee to green, he's eighth. Off the tee, he's 33rd. Approach, 27th. Around the green, 10th. And putting, 14th. Like, he's in the top 35 in every category, strokes gain-wise, on the PGA Tour last year, and he still can't manage to win. Let me see what his results are real quick on the PGA Tour, because...
Well, I bet if you, while you're finding that, I bet if you go through every single player with X amount of PGA Tour starts, I don't think you'd find probably four or five guys with a better average strokes gained across the board in those five categories of anyone on tour. Yeah. So it's like this mysterious, why can't he ever win a PGA Tour event?
Well,
maybe it's the watch he wears while he plays. I know you hate that.
Yeah, wearing a watch while you golf just gives me big Bubba Watson vibes. Like, I just automatically think you're a total douchebag. So guess how many top three finishes he has in his PGA Tour career in 127 starts?
Top what was it again?
Top three. So second, finishes second or third without winning, obviously.
In 127 career PGA Tour starts?
Yeah.
I'd say 25.
Finishing second or third?
Okay, maybe 15.
Dear God, he's finished in the top three 9 times.
Okay.
So that's a lot to not win, especially when you haven't won a single event. And he also has 33 top 10s in 127 events. So he is averaging over 25% in the top 10 for his PGA Tour career. I mean, he's made $20 million in 127 events, which is probably the equivalent to, like, you know, four full years on tour with a pretty full schedule. And he's made $20 million. So I think he's doing okay. But yeah, he's just got to get that proverbial monkey off his back. I know he's a big Ned Bank Challenge fan. They got quite a few monkeys running around down there. So maybe he needs to bring one of those monkeys from South Africa over with him to play on the PGA Tour, because then he'll be able to win somewhere.
Oh, I like that. That's some tinfoil hat theory there.
Yeah, maybe he needs to play in the middle of a safari.
maybe we'll bring some of that to the United States. I don't know. What's the most safari-like place in the United States? Is it like the swamp of like
Florida?
Florida, Louisiana, is that as close as we're going to get?
Yeah, I almost feel like if you combined Arizona and Florida together, it would equal the safari, kind of. It's more Arizona, but then it's got, you know, regular trees and shit and just crazy wildlife. So, yeah, there's really nothing quite like it in the world besides in Africa. It's a lot. Like, when they go play in South Africa, it blows my mind every time. I'm like, this is like a real place. It's not just like a made up fairy tale.
It's not just a place you can only go to for a expensive safari trip or endangered species hunt. It's an actual like full on livable area.
I can go just play golf there. I don't need to try to take down a rhino.
Exactly. For its invaluable tusk.
Yeah. No, the golf over there looks unbelievable, but that is kind of crazy to think that Tommy Fleetwood hasn't won besides the Ned Bank in over 5 years now. Like, you just, you really do expect more from him. And we know that, you know, one of the most memorable finishes of the 2023 season, he was on the wrong side of in Detroit, losing in a playoff to Nick Taylor. So that was unfortunate for him. He could have gotten
in Canada, bud.
Oh, that was a Canadian Open. Might be. That was Toronto, not Detroit. Detroit, Toronto, same shit.
They're actually really close to each other.
Yeah, they're very close.
Yeah, that kind of blew my mind when I was watching the Lions game yesterday, and it was like, here's Canada and here's Michigan. Once again, geography's not my strong suit, but that fucking kind of blew me. I was going to say,
we were just in Detroit like 3 weeks ago. You had no idea that, like, if you take the highway like southeast of Detroit, like if you go down and to the east, which is southeast, fucking duh, you actually go into Canada. I think, what's it called? It's called, I can't remember, but yeah, I guess that town.
We should have tried to take an Uber there, see what happened.
Yeah, I don't need to get rejected from Canada. That wouldn't, that's not on my bingo card anytime soon until I can get reinstated with our great Canadians up north.
Canadian Open coverage for us. We did get a comment from Nick Scott. Sometime this spring, summer, you guys should probably meet in the middle of your houses, i.e. St. Louis, for some golf and let me know. We would love to come. I've heard, like, I want to go, like, Lake of the Ozarks area. I know that's, like, the typical. We've been to St. Louis before. We didn't get to play golf there. We were there for a summer baseball trip with our asshole uncle who fucking berated us for not helping him clean his RV during the middle of the trip. But other than that, St. Louis was great. But we would love to play some golf in the Midwest St. Louis area. I've heard, you know, what is the, isn't there a PGA Tour event that's there every single year?
No, not
just once in a while.
Well, they have the John Deere, which is technically like the tri-state, which is like Iowa, I think Missouri and Illinois all combined.
It's always in Illinois though.
I know, but I'm just saying it's kind of like on the edge right there. But no, they do play they have a few tournaments that they play out there. Well, or I'm sorry, tournament venues, like Belle Reve is one, a really nice one. Like I think it's like St. Louis Country Club or, I mean, there's definitely some very good golf in the St. Louis area, so would love to do that. We still need to get out to Chicago and play some golf. We have yet to do that together. We got to play some golf in New Jersey. There's a lot of golf around us, around me, that is fairly doable. So, you know, we're gonna try to travel as much as we can and play as much golf as possible.
Yeah, that's the goal for 2024, even though right now it feels like we're never golfing again in Colorado with the current weather.
The rest of our lives, just always be golfing.
The last thing about Tommy Fleetwood, want to pull up this photo that we have here. It's on our, it's our thumbnail for the YouTube. If you guys aren't watching us on YouTube, go check it out. YouTube.com, Big Drive Energy Golf. That's where we have every single podcast. But this trophy, man. Everything's just bigger in Dubai. I wonder if there's a saying like that in Europe, you know, like there is here in America for Texas. That thing probably weighs as much as Tommy does.
Yeah, I really don't understand the significance of it. Like it really kind of looks like they just threw a big hunk of silver on there. But knowing them, it's probably worth like $200,000-$300,000. It's probably made out of fucking titanium. And I'm probably completely wrong on that because now come to think of it, I think titanium's like way heavier than anything. I think it's like such a dense metal that you can pick that shit up. So I'm probably wrong about that. But it's super unnecessary. And that's just how Dubai does everything. They do their buildings, their trophies, their golf courses. Just everything's over the top over there. So,
yeah, well, somebody getting over the top was Grayson Murray, as we said. Before we talk about Grayson Murray, though, and winning the Sony Open, I want to tell you guys about our great friends over at Breckenridge Distillery. I'm still in the hot toddy mood. I'm hoping this fucking sickness goes fully away at some point. I would really enjoy that. I finally went to the gym today for the first time in like 17 days, so feel pretty good about myself there.
I don't think you drank enough whiskey. I think you need more Breckenridge is the thing.
Yeah, because honestly, the best I've felt in the last 2 weeks is when you were out here and we went to a random bar before the Avs game here in Denver, and I had a London toddy. Like, I felt bad ordering it because it's just one of those drinks that they put on the menu. They're like, this is cool. And then somebody orders it and they're like, oh, fuck this guy. Really? Is he going to order that? I did. And it made me feel immensely better. Like, I went and sat at the Avs game for 3 hours, cold, in the, you know, in arena with fully with ice, where I'm like, I can't get warm right now at all, no matter where I am. And I felt great for like 3 to 4 hours. And so maybe I need to get more on the hot toddy rain, but I can't have any sugar right now. So I'm kind of in between just like a kind of a boring tea mixed with Breckenridge whiskey. I'm just going to not look at the sugar content. But Breckenridge Distillery is by far the best distillery in the entire world. I'm willing to say that. If you're ever in Colorado, check out the actual distillery up in Breck. They've got great food. You can taste all of the whiskeys. I've still got the nice expensive bottle you guys bought. It's one of those things when you get a nice bottle of whiskey or a nice bottle of olive oil, which you've also gifted me in the past. You don't want to just like, you want to make it special every time you use it. You know, I'm not just going to make a random drink on a Tuesday night with that. Like, it's got to be maybe a celebratory thing or who knows, but definitely want to sip some Breckenridge Distillery. You can get it in all 50 states, including Alaska and Hawaii, where Grayson Murray just won. Just check out www.breckenridgedistillery.com and get your hands on some of the best bourbon whiskey in the entire world. Also want to tell you guys about Burrito Express. We just booked our trip down to Arizona for the waste management. The Airbnb we're staying at has a private pool. It's nice as fuck. I cannot wait to just sit my ass by the pool. We actually probably won't at all because we'll be working and playing a little golf during the week. But excited to get down to Arizona for a couple of days when it's this cold out here especially and play some golf, watch the waste management, cover it. There'll be a lot of coverage from us all that week, but we will definitely be hitting up Burrito Express every morning, drive through breakfast burritos, the way to go. So make sure you're checking out Burrito Express. They have 6 locations around Arizona. Tempe location is great. I don't know how close we are to Tempe. I'm pretty directionally challenged. I think we're a little north Phoenix, so I don't think we're very close to it. But Phoenix is one of those weird cities where it feels like everything is close enough, but like far away. Like, where we're staying could be 20 minutes from TPC, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 40 minutes, but it's all in Phoenix, so it feels like it's close enough, you know?
Yeah, it's very spread out down there.
Yeah, so we're going to be checking out Burrito Express while we're down there. You guys should, too, if you're in Arizona for a bachelor party, playing some golf, doing whatever you're doing down there, getting away from the snow if you live in a cold weather state. That's what we are going to be doing here in a couple weeks for waste management, and I am looking so forward to it. All right, let's get to Grayson Murray. So pretty ballsy shot. That is actually going to be... So when we do these Winner's Circle Mondays, we're going to have a shot of the week. And we have the shot of the week here. It is the last one in there. So this was a shot of the week from Grayson Murray. Of course, his putt was incredible. But this wedge shot here on 18, first of all... You were watching this, correct?
Yes.
Like, so I kind of caught the tail end of him fucking around before he hit the shot that got him to that spot. Do you know what was happening there? Because he was like dropping and taking 3 clubs and like doing a bunch of shit. And it looked like he was basically hosed because he had to make birdie to tie where Keegan Bradley was at. The 18th hole is a pretty birdieable par 5, which great, great hole, great finishing hole for sure. But what did you see what the issue was there?
I'm not going to lie to you. I was flipping back and forth and I missed that shot, but I right when I flipped back to it, he was hitting his wedge shot. So I don't know what happened. I know that there was a few questionable drops on the, in the event yesterday. Carl Yuan was definitely a benefit of one. Just a very, very weird situation where they couldn't for certain say that it was in the hospitality tent, but they gave him a drop like it was in the hospitality tent when I think there's a good chance it was over the back of it, behind it. kind of in no man's land. So I don't know. He got a great benefit from that, but I think it was one of those funky drops, and like the rules officials weren't super on top of anything. Like, I think when Carl Yuen like called him over, the head rules official didn't even really have an answer for him as to what the answer was or what to do. So it just goes to show you, not everybody knows what the fuck they're talking about. But right when I tuned in, it was Grayson Murray's wedge shot. So all I saw was that he was down a shot. There was, Keegan Bradley had what, 10, 12 feet to win it, or no, a little, maybe 15 feet.
It was a considerable distance. I think it was 20 plus feet. They said on the broadcast that it would have been the longest putt he had made all week if he would have made it.
Yeah, which is pretty wild, because Keegan is a very, very good ball striker. He's been like top five in ball striking on the PGA Tour for years. But he's always struggled with that putter ever since they outlawed belly putting. So I can feel for him, because I also used a belly putter back in the day, and that shit was so nice. But yeah, Keegs had a look to win it on 18, didn't make it. And Grayson Murray just clutched up. I think it was from 90 something yards, hit it in there to
97 yards.
97 yards. So, I mean, you got to think, like, average distance or average proximity for a PGA Tour player from that distance is probably 15 to 20 feet. So given the circumstance and the quality of shot he hit, I am pretty impressed. And like, but that's what he talked about. He's not unfamiliar. He's only won once on the PGA Tour, and it was seven, almost 8 years ago. Like, they talked about a million times on the broadcast. But the dude is not afraid to win at all. Like, he does not really get nervous. He's just got that kind of aggressive mindset. He's always kind of he's playing golf offensively. He's not playing on the defense or protecting against anything. So not really super surprising he stuffed that wedge in there, but then made the putt too, which was super clutch. And then obviously, you know, we got to probably say the other shot of the week was his 50 some footer to win the event in the playoff.
Yeah. And it's one of those where if you've played golf, you know this feeling for sure. He was kind of behind. Like, did you see his tee shot on the first playoff hole? So they were showing the view from behind the tee box. And I actually want to get your opinion on this, because the announcer, I don't know what his name was. I don't care anymore, unless it's Kisner at this point. Not that they're bad. It's, you know, Johnny Miller, you know, Paul Azinger, but other than that, I know, but that's what I'm saying. You know their names. Like, you hear their names, you know who that is. These other guys, it's like, whatever. But
yeah, everybody else is fairly forgettable.
So they were describing, you know, you could see it from the back. It was almost like, I'm trying to think of another tee shot that's like it, but there's no room to miss left. All the whole way down the left side of the 18th fairway is palm trees. And they discussed how Grayson Murray's preferred shot is a cut. And the guy on the broadcast said, yeah, he's not going to be able to, the cut will not work here. He's going to have to try to work the ball right to left. And I wanted to get your opinion on him just going out and saying that, like, a cut or a draw works anywhere if you can properly cut it or properly draw it. But do you think that, I know PGA Tour players are top of the line players, but in a playoff, when you're, you know, changing your whole career essentially for winning that one hole out of three guys, which you ended up doing anyways, are you switching your preferred ball flight to try to fit the hole? Or are you just trying to cut it and cut it off the palm trees and hit it in the middle of the fairway?
Yeah, I don't think anybody, no matter how good you are, no matter how many times you've been in the situation, nobody wants to go away from a ball flight that they're pretty well ingrained in. Like, I'm in the same boat. I prefer a cut off the tee, and I would, you know, obviously there's no like direct comparison, but I think he's probably aiming up the left edge of the fairway. And if he hit it straight, he hit it straight. If he faded it, it it was going to be in the middle, you know, and if he overcut it, it would be up the right. So, but yeah, I definitely wouldn't be trying to work the ball the opposite way of my natural movement in that kind of spot, because even the most repeatable golf swing under that kind of pressure is very, very hard to do. So you're not going to be like, oh yeah, let me switch it up and really get creative with this one. Like, nobody wants to hit a shot that they don't feel comfortable with in that position. So I don't really blame Murray, but didn't he end up in the left trees, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, he was way left. I mean, he was off the planet left. Keegan bombed one and on, got actually a lucky bounce. It was about to go into the rough, which looked disastrous in general. And then he ended up in the second cut. So that's like my ideal spot. I'm a big second cut guy. Obviously, you're never going to necessarily make it in there, but they were both well in position off the tee, and Grayson was well out of position. But going back to what I was going to say is that's one of those things when you're playing golf, like he had like a 40 footer for birdie where it's kind of like you have to make it to stay alive at that point. And but the pressure's not, I mean, the pressure's on you, but you're basically looking at Keegan's birdie putt and you're like, okay, he could make that. He had a very similar one in the last, you know, 15 minutes ago on the same hole. And then on was like super close. He was like very close. Like, so the pressure was almost off of Grayson Murray at that point. He's like, hit a good putt, see what happens. I don't think I'm going to move on. And the beauty of golf, you know, reared its not ugly head. Well, it's ugly head for on and Keegan, but he looked so far out of it. And then all of a sudden, 2 seconds later, he's hoisting the trophy.
Yeah, it definitely changes your mindset when you have 50 some feet and two other dudes are in there relatively tight. I mean, that is the crazy thing with Murray, though, is I think that he just kind of plays that way all the time. Like, he's never going to, you know, not play aggressively. So it was just the kind of the perfect spot for him. And it also gives you a big advantage. I mean, obviously on and Bradley didn't take advantage of it, but they literally just putted on that green not 15 minutes before. So it really was more like get it online because you know what it's doing. But even having the read already, I think, is like a big difference, because everybody was missing that putt from the direction that Murray was putting from. They were all missing it on the low side, like they thought it was going to break and it wasn't. So I think he knew that ahead of time, which obviously helps. But yeah, when you got nothing to lose and you're like, you know, I have to make this, and even then, it, you know, I'm probably, that's just to keep me going in this playoff. And then those two both miss. It's kind of realistically, Keegan Bradley missed a huge opportunity. He had a really straightforward pitch shot, plenty of green to work with. I will say the rough out there looked treacherous. And if you ever played in like that really spongy, sticky grass, you know what it's like. It's terrible because you just can't really gauge. It's a constant guessing game of how the ball is going to come out of it. Especially around the greens, because you're not really taking a huge swing, but it looks like the ball ran up the club face a little bit on him and just checked up. It was one of those high face spinners and just stopped, what, 20 feet short of the hole. And I mean, that's really a shot he could have gotten aggressive with. So Keegan definitely left the door open. And then on, he's just struggled with putting. Last year, he was 144th on tour in strokes gained putting. So he's definitely not the best putter in the world. And he's never won on tour before. So tough spot for him. I mean, he's another dude that's done very well for having not won on the PGA Tour. But it was just a perfect spot for Grayson Murray to step up and bang that one home.
Yeah, and Grayson got kind of oddly emotional in the... He went from, like, you know, he, not that he looks like a tough guy or anything like that, but he went like immediately to talking about like some of his past issues. And then he's like, I think he said, quote, there's been times where I wanted to give up on, or he said, there's been times that I've wanted to give up on golf. And then he goes, and life. And I was like, Jesus, this guy. I was like, what the fuck
from the
is
top rope? Holy
yeah,
shit.
I was like, this guy's got some serious fucking issues going on.
Yeah. No, he definitely looks like the dude that you'd see, like, I don't want to make assumptions here, but I could see him just shit faced, like beating everybody up outside of the bar. He's got that kind of like look to him. He looks like he's not, he looks a little strong, but I think he is a lot stronger than he really actually looks. So he's just kind of one of those country bumpkin strong type of dudes. But yeah, he got very emotional. I mean, the broadcast talked about it over and over. Like, he's out here playing golf, hitting golf shots, and they're like, alcoholism, anxiety, depression. It's like, just talk about the golf. Like, I understand you want to talk about their personal lives, but how many more times do you want to bring this up on the broadcast? Like, everybody, it's similar to the NFL draft when they're like, oh, this kid got drafted 12th overall. His aunt was, you know, killed in a car accident when he was 6 years old. Like, they just pick out like the worst possible story. They can't really find any, you know, I don't know why they need to constantly harp on that. But yeah, he definitely got emotional, and it sounds like his fiance is like really holding him accountable. But ultimately, it sounds like not drinking has really propelled him to this success in golf. So it kind of makes me pose the question, like, if I were to quit drinking, would I be better at golf? Like, is that my key to getting out on tour? Is it just the booze?
I think that you've got a few issues, and that may be in the top three, I would guess. Okay.
Yeah, well, and I guess, let me ask you this. It's just a hypothetical question, you know, that anybody can answer. Would you give up booze for the rest of your life if you got one PGA Tour win? And I think there's some, questions to be asked, like, you know, how much money are you making? What, like, just any random, you get to win the fucking Mexico Open, but you can't ever drink a day in your life again.
That'd be a tough selly afterwards, but I think it'd be worth it. I'm going to say yes. It's a resounding yes for me.
See, like Grayson Murray said, that'll change your career, but not your life. Like, booze makes life better. Like, it is one of the things that brings happiness to me personally on a pretty regular basis. So giving booze up in order to win on the PGA Tour, I don't know if I would make that trade, in all honesty. Like, I don't think that's feasible. Like, when I'm 80 years old, I'm going to be able to enjoy booze if I'm still kicking, but I'm not going to be able to enjoy my PGA Tour win from 55 years ago. Like, booze is forever. Golf is temporary. Career success is temporary, but booze is forever. So okay, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. What was the meme that I sent you this morning? What did that say?
Maybe the booze is addicted to me. Have you ever thought of that? You never know. It's always a possibility.
Don't pass judgment. A couple of other things I noted from the event. So on Thursday, you know, I was watching a little Thursday afternoon golf, which is always my favorite. There's no Thursday night football anymore. Thursdays seem like a night where it's just more chill. But the announcers were saying it was going to be cold on the island next week. And I looked at the weather for Maui, and it was a crisp 77 degrees. And I was looking that weather up while I turned outside and saw 0 degrees behind me. So that pissed me off, number one, right off Thursday. And then I found out Ludwig Aubert and Vincent Norman are roommates. I don't know. They didn't say where, but ironically, Vincent only charges Ludwig $400 a month for his place. Do you think that's going to go up steadily as Aubert starts to make a shitload of money, for lack of a better term?
Yeah. I mean, that's like living in a college dorm in South Dakota. Like, that's fucking, you can't live hardly anywhere in America for that. What I would do is I would be like, hey, Ludwig, you pay me 1% of your earnings for the year in rent.
You Mr. Wonderful him with a fucking, what's a royalty. That called?
Yeah, hit him with a royalty.
Yeah, hit him with the royalties.
Yeah, so I guess if Ludwig made $3 million on tour, he'd pay him 30,000. Yeah, that checks out math wise. So that's probably not even enough, but I still think it's a better deal than $400 a month. Like, especially as a PGA Tour player, that's probably ass wiping money. That's Vince Norman probably keeps the $400 next to the toilet for him when he wakes up and takes his morning piss.
Yeah. Well, I got a text from a buddy that he said, I don't know what it is, but I just don't like watching Will Zalatoris play. There's something about his twig legs and stupid face. And he had a rough go back on the PGA Tour, which is to be expected. I mean, I still expect this guy to be contending at majors in the next couple of years once he gets back to full health. But I texted him back and I said, don't watch his putting stroke too much or you will have to see a therapist. That thing is still just as bad. Like, the only thing he probably could have worked on with these back issues for the last 6 months was his putting stroke. And it still comes out looking like Riggs or worse. It's just shocking to me.
Yeah, like he's got epilepsy over the ball. I hate to say it, but it's not great all the way around. There was another guy. I got to look it up, and I hate to just put him on blast like this, but I think he won the local PGA, the Hawaiian PGA. So he got into this event. And I think, God, let me pull it up here real quick. He missed the cut, finished DFL. If you're not familiar with that term, that's dead fucking last. Yeah, he shot 27 over for 2 days. So he finished last by 15 shots.
Oh, like, dude.
Realistically, I hate to say it, but I think I could do better than that. Like, so that's an average of 85 each day. Like, I don't care where, like, I'd have to be playing a very, very hard course to feel like 85 is, you know, playing my best.
golfing my heart, ball, 85, 85.
Yeah, like, I would have to be shit-faced. And even then, I probably could, probably not on the PGA Tour. But yeah, 85, averaging 85 and a half over 2 days on the PGA Tour. Okay, here's another question. Would you rather qualify for a PGA Tour event and shoot 85-85 or never qualify for a tour event at all?
I think I'd rather qualify. I'll put myself out there.
I mean, I respect that, but there's something about the unknown. You know, like, oh, if I just could have made it out there. But then you're like, well, I did make it out there, and guess what? I shot a couple of fucking 85s. Like,
yeah, that would hurt the ego, but it immediately go to my Twitter bio that was like PGA Tour start 2024 Sony Open.
Put your PGAtour.com bio link in there, like, check out my one start. But I honestly think I would give up competitive golf. Like, I don't play very much competitive golf, but you go and do that, and then it's just got to be the most demoralizing possible thing. Like, what positives can you take away from that?
Yeah, other than you got a Thursday, Friday off of work and you got to fucking go out there and
a fucking pro shop.
Go out there and you get some pro shop credit for shooting 85-85?
Yeah, he's like, can I get some merch from this shit or what?
He got to hit like free Pro V1 range balls for a couple of days.
Yeah, I will
and
say
maybe
that
get a rented car for him.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, when you're that low on the totem pole, you probably got like a Kia Soul or some shit. But yeah, I mean, that's just got to be so tough. Like, that's your Super Bowl as a sectional dude that makes it out of qualifying, and you go out and you just lay the biggest egg that you possibly could. That's you know, I don't think, you know, I know Grayson Murray wasn't drinking after that, but I bet that dude was drinking Friday night after those couple of rounds. Dear God, I'd be blacked out.
Oh, yeah, I'd be trying to sauce it up even Saturday morning, going back into the tour, fucking get the tour breakfast, hang out with the guys a couple more days. I wonder if they let them do that or not. If they're like, hey, get off the
phone. Yeah, just pull Ricky Fowler at the Rocket Mortgage and just show up and hit range balls Saturday morning. And everybody's like, what the fuck are you doing here, dude? He's like, Didn't you see the spread they got in there in the clubhouse? I just had a full-blown Eggs Benedict. I'm going to go putt it around for a little bit, grab a couple of cocktails, and fucking see if I can drive my courtesy car into the ocean.
Jesus Christ. All right, another segment we're going to do every week on Winner's Circle Mondays is have some tweets of the week. So golf tweets from the tournament or centered around the tournament. So we've got three here. And once again, if you're not watching on the YouTube, you want to see these, check us out. YouTube, Big Drive Energy Golf. Let's roll the first one here. So this is hilarious because it's the caption was great. So it's somebody just as the drone is exiting the golf course, somebody's falling down. And it says 2024 is going to be my year. And then it just shows this person just eating complete shit. So that was a great one. I actually audibly laughed out loud. I don't know if they got hit by a ball or a ball was coming in their way, but seemed to clean themselves up pretty quick and get off the golf course there. So that was one of our three tweets of the week. Number two here, this one's great because this one is... Excuse me. This one is a PGA Tour player playing in the event. The name here is leaving me. It is Toasty.
No.
So this is from what?
Toasty?
Yeah. Is it Alejandro Toasty?
I think so.
So he's sitting here crisscross applesauce next to one of the greens waiting for his playing partners to hit their approach shots. And you've had this feeling, right? You've had this, like, where you hit, like, a couple of good shots and you're up there by the green and your fucking playing partners are fucking around in the weeds, like, 20 yards back. This is the ultimate man power move where you're like, all right, I'm going to go up there and take a seat. Try not to fucking hit me on your seventh shot here coming into the green.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like something we should see on the PGA Tour, but... he looks a little like J.J. McCarthy underneath the goalpost doing a little meditation, fighting off that depression.
Yeah, he's Googled it.
Googled how to not get hit by a golf ball next to their green.
This third tweet, so... this is a great one, too. So Keegan Bradley here is about to putt. And Twitter is giving us some issues, but basically this showed one of the players and this got a lot of traction because everybody's like, Rom was right. But this was one of the players basically going back behind Keegan Bradley and ripping a quick piss behind the tree behind him. you can see him fucking unbuttoning his pants, pulls it out, and then they're like, oh, camera slip, here we go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Oh, pink shirt. Oh. And they're like, no, fucking move it. Camera over. So, and it's funny because Keegan's doing that fucking sightline thing and like reading it. And then that guy in the background taking a piss. Oh, it was so good. I saw that and I was like, yeah, this has got to go on. This has got to be talked about on the pod.
Keegan's doing aim point on the green and this dude's just got one hand on his horn behind a tree on the other side of the golf course. Like, he like looked so, it would be so funny if he just like looked over and saw the camera. Like what a clip to catch on video. Unbelievable.
Oh yeah, that was absolutely amazing. So shout out to Keegan Murray or Grayson Murray. Let's roll that back. We'll cut that. Shout out to Grayson Murray and shout out to Tommy Fleetwood on their wins this week. Let's get to a mulligan of the week to finish up this winner's circle Monday. Once again, mulligan of the week is a segment we do every single, we're going to do it every single Monday now, is a situation we'd like to have back in our lives. And I can go ahead and start. I've got a fucking whole litany of them that I've been just writing down for myself as they happen to me. And I just, of course, have to fucking find it on my phone. This is super good podcasting.
You want me to go?
No, I've got it. I've got it. So I was, I'm the one that feeds my kid early in the morning when it's dark and can't really see. And so I went to the other day, he generally goes back to sleep. This is usually about 5 a.m. So I sit there on this little rocking chair, I feed him, and then generally I put him back in his crib and, you know, cross my fingers in bed that he doesn't get back up for another 2 or 3 hours. And it generally works pretty well. But for some reason, we hadn't closed his window all the way, his shade. And so his shade was a little bit open, which was causing some light from the street light to come into his room. And I'm like, well, you know, it's got to be as dark as possible in here. Like, I'm just praying to God that he'll fucking go back to sleep and give us like 2 more hours. So the shade's open, and I fucking got, I'm holding him, I'm waddling over to the window to fucking close the shade, and I just smoke my knee on his fucking changing table, and I about dropped myself to the ground and about dropped him on the changing table. My knee is still bruised, and I was like, was it really worth trying to shut the fucking shade for that? I'm limping back into bed like a fucking old man that just had, you know, a knee replacement, but it hurts so bad. And I just wish I could go back and say, you know what? Fuck that shade. We're going to go back to sleep no matter what. It hurt.
No, there's like nothing worse than running into something or stubbing your toes, or that is pretty much unrivaled pain. All of my, so I actually have three, I'll kind of wrap into one. All of mine are like food related. Like, I was just having it out with fucking food this week. So first of all, I told everybody about my Costco trip last week. I thought I was fucking king of the castle, bought all this meat. So I decided to portion out the chicken into 2 breasts per bag. And then I got 8 breasts. So I had 4 bags of 2 breasts, and I,
good math.
So thank you. You know, when they're all like not frozen, they're pretty flexible and, you know, you can move them around. So I jam them into the door, the fucking cat, like cubby in the freezer door. So then I go to pull some out the other night and it's all frozen and stuck in the drawer, in the door of the freezer. So I start freaking the fuck, like, I don't know why I was freaking out, but I'm just like, this chicken's either going to be here forever or I needed to get it out somehow. Because it had frozen and it was like, you know how the drawer is a little like narrower and then it kind of opens up underneath. So it, like, I jammed it in there and like the chicken froze like this. And so I couldn't pull it upward because I was either going to break the little insert in the door, or I was, so what I ended up doing, I didn't break the insert, but I was kicking the door multiple times, the door of the freezer. It was like banging up against the wall. I thought my neighbors, it was like 10 in the morning, but, I thought somebody was pissed off. And then I took a butter knife and was like carving the chicken out. Like, I had to let it thaw for a minute. And then I just bent the shit out of this butter knife trying to get this chicken out. And then somebody knocks on the door and I for sure thought it was one of my neighbors coming over to complain about me being a fucking asshole. But luckily it wasn't. So just an overall nightmare. I was pouring hot water on it. I was like in this sort of like panic. Like, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get this fucking chicken out and I'm going to look like the biggest idiot in the world. So I eventually got the chicken out. I ended up having to scrap 2 of the bags because I was like ripping the top of the bags and they were still stuck. Like, I was just fucked. And then, I was making jalapeno poppers Friday, because we went to this little get together with some friends on Saturday to watch some football. And I'm not like super familiar with hot shit because I don't like cook with like hot peppers and stuff that often. So I cut 20 jalapenos, like carve them out, all this. I immediately go up and touch my eyes. And like, it felt like I got pepper sprayed. My eyes had a pulse. It hurt so fucking bad. And like right underneath my eyes were burning so bad. I went into the shower and like was just like letting it fucking hit me directly on the eyeballs with the coldest water possible. I needed one of those like things that you used to have in science class when we were in high school, where, you know, if you get like a chemical, like an eye wash thing. I was freaking the fuck out. Actually, my girlfriend thought it'd be a good idea if she blew on my eyeballs. So she's like, and I'm like, it's just drying them out and making it worse. It was fucking, it only lasted like a half hour, but I thought it was going to be like days. I was so like worried. I honestly thought I had like permanently injured myself. And then one other one, I got a can of like avocado oil cooking spray, and the cap was off. And then like the little spray deal was kind of like on, but off, like it wasn't all the way on. So it's just one of those things where you're not thinking, like you're thinking about a million other things. I face it directly towards my face and pull it down, and it fucking just shoots right into my eyes. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, I've had so many issues. I'm trying to like eat healthier, and like it's just God's way of being like getting back at me. Like, no, fat ass, you're just going to be like this forever. You're not meant to eat healthy food. So it's been quite the week with the food scenario.
Yeah, you seem to be struggling a bit in the kitchen. Maybe you need to start wearing more gloves when you're cooking, as well as maybe some sun. You need to get yourself some kitchen glasses. Speaking of high school science, you need those ones that like fucking, they got the strap behind them, pull out. Yeah. They're like the big plastic white ones, or not white, obviously, just plastic, clear plastic so you can see.
Yeah, like pit vipers. I need some of those like big ass fucking glasses that cover my eyes, because yeah, apparently like I would consider myself a pretty good cook, but I've been going through it this last week. Luckily, the only time Missy saw it was the jalapenos, but other than that, I've just kept everything else on the down low. She doesn't listen to the podcast, so she's not gonna know this shit.
She hasn't looked in the freezer and seen like fucking butter knife marks all over it and ripped bags frozen in the fucking drawer.
Yeah, no, I told her about the chicken, but I was like, you don't need to know all the details. I was like, it got stuck. I got it unstuck.
That's all you need to know.
That's it. That's it.
That's all you guys need to know for today, Monday, Winner's Circle Monday. I just received a text here from a random number that says, "Hey, Sonny, we haven't seen each other in a while. Do you want to go for coffee tomorrow?" Judy here. So it sounds like I'm going to coffee tomorrow with somebody named Judy. We are going to do this podcast again on Wednesday. We'll be previewing next week's event, as well as talking about some other news in the golf world that kind of dropped today. Could be some more players on the way to the LIV Tour. We'll talk about how true we think that's going to be. You guys enjoy the rest of your Monday. Enjoy NFL playoff football tonight, and we will talk to you on Wednesday. Peace.